Welcome to Lala Beams. This is episode 12. This is your host, Lala, and I'm sitting here with my friend, Kenny, who is a host on Black Pill Radio, former aerospace engineer and part-time poutine reviewer, and also my new friend. So thanks so much for joining me today.
I like that you hit all the major ones right there. Poutine in there, you had to hit that one. But yeah, no, it's awesome to be here. It's going to be fun. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones, so I had to get that in there.
Yeah, I know when you're asking, like, oh, what else do you do? I'm like, well, I had a little thing on Instagram called Steamy Poutine Reviews, so if you want to check out some fun stuff, hit it up.
Steamy, and just wondering if you're wearing your tuxedo boxer briefs right now.
No, actually, I'm not.
So, I've been listening to your podcast for a few months, probably now. And I started following your personal page. And one of the reasons why I kind of started talking to you is because of your Halloween costume, Charlie.
Yeah, you should hear whenever I'm out at the bar. I mean, I don't know what it sounds like on here, but I don't know. I get a little animated, get some drinks in me. I get loud and I start sounding like Charlie. I get like high pitch and I kind of look like him too. Cause people even like come up to me, they're like, hey, I don't know if you know, but you're like, you really remind me of Charlie Kelly. I'm like, dude, I get it all the time. That's college for me. Do the Charlie voice. But yeah, that's normal.
Charlie from It's Always Sunny, by the way, for anyone listening. If you don't know who Charlie Kelly is, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but maybe we'll get you to do the Charlie voice here in a little bit.
Yeah, I'll have a couple beers.
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever listened to my show, but I do put some of my guests through a little game called Fuck, Marry, Kill. I did prepare some for you, and it's Always Sunny themed.
Oh, okay. So. Nice.
Okay. So the first one is D, obviously, the waitress or Ingrid Nelson, her fat friend from high school.
Oh yeah. I would say, well, kill D, obviously. I gotta marry the waitress.
Obviously.
Fuck Ingrid, man. But yeah, okay. Clearly you gotta kill D. No one wants that bird around.
I didn't know how I felt after I found out that they were all actually like dating and married in real life.
Fucking weird is what it is. Like when I found out Max married to D, it kind of made me mad.
Like, what do you think that effect on their relationship is when you're just mean to your spouse all day long, but you're acting?
For sure. That's why it seems so real sometimes, because you know for sure they had an argument going into work.
Like, he's like, I can't wait to be fucking pissed at D today.
Oh, we get that scene today? Perfect. No, keep talking, sweetie. Keep talking. It's all good.
All right. So that was kind of the easy one. So, the second one is Artemis, Margaret McPoyle, and Maureen Ponderosa with a dead tooth.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to kill dead tooth. I'm going to fuck McPoyle. I'm going to marry Artemis.
Jesus. I feel like I would definitely kill McPoyle on that one. That's just me.
Dead tooth? She turns into a cat? You don't want that around.
But you could just fuck her and like be done with her and never smell her tooth again. So there's always that.
Just knowing that tooth's out there, she could come around. I don't want it. I want it out of here. You'll see the unibrow from McPoyle coming a mile away. And Artemis, I mean, yeah, I want to marry Artemis. She's a freak, man.
Yeah, she is. She'll fuck you behind a dumpster if you want. So there's always that.
We did this thing with the bun. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, thanks for playing.
I thought you were going to get more into like cricket.
I keep it for your gender. Don't worry.
Oh, it'd have been more fun the other way though, too.
Well, you can always get me back. So if you got something for me, go right ahead.
I'll brainstorm. I don't know exactly which three.
Okay. So how long have you been doing your podcast?
So we started, literally it was right around shutdown. So right around March last year. But again, we started and the first few episodes were like really bad. I remember the one time we tried to do one outside and I got too drunk and like, it was just, I blacked out. I don't even really remember finishing it, but yeah, I think our first one actually released, I want to say end of May or June. So like we worked on it for a little bit, got our shit set up, got our shit together, because our first probably 8 episodes was just me getting a couple conspiracy like ideas and doing my research. And it's like Shane was kind of like asking me questions because he was kind of fresh to conspiracies coming in. So he had some of the more normie questions or like maybe some reasonable questions and all that. So it was basically just us going back and forth. And then it just turned and we thought about having guests, and then literally our first guest we had, and then it was ever since we just always had guests.
Okay. I like the dynamic between you and Shane, and the way you described it is kind of fitting. So have you known each other like your whole lives or?
Yeah. Well, pretty much 8 years old. We played hockey together growing up.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like we traveled together and did all that shit for a long time. And trust me, he knows all my shit. I know a lot of his shit. We lived together for a little bit, but I smoke weed. He doesn't like that. So we're better staying apart.
So you've lived in Ohio your whole life then?
No. So playing hockey, I lived in Michigan for a little bit. And then I moved out to Seattle, probably what, 10 years ago now. I was out there for about 5 years. I had work move me out. I honestly just got a DUI. So I was like trying to get away. I was drinking a lot, like
right.
get a little pudgy. And then I moved out to Seattle. Yeah, work moved me out. So it was like super cheap for me. And I still wound up spending money like crazy. Yeah, I did my 5 years out there. It was like at that point, 5 years, I think is the number where it's like, all right, you're either going to settle down here or you're going to go back home.
Yeah.
I loved it out there, but it just wasn't home.
Could you imagine living there right now?
No, I have friends still there. I mean, I talked to a couple of my friends are from Cleveland, still living there. Like it was weird. Not weird. It's just super liberal PC and all that shit before it. There's no way I could do it. I want to go back and visit, but I got to wait till like, it's actually normal again, which I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
I've been there before. I did a road trip from like Seattle down through the Redwoods and all over the coast. And I hated it. I mean, it was a cool city, but there was homeless people everywhere. I couldn't find a public bathroom to use because there was so many heroin addicts apparently that would just camp in there. And this was before all of the bullshit that's going on now. So,
yeah, I mean, the homeless, they come out, they're not too bad there. I mean, they're not bold like Cleveland ones where they like will follow you and like say shit. They're usually just chill right there. At the same time, they have their whole camp. Like they have Tent City. There's like 20,000 of them that live there. And like, they have like a mayor. They have like a whole board and shit, dude. So like they like make decisions. It's kind of funny. It's a whole city. So they come out and they do their shit. They do their panhandling, begging, all that. And then they go back and do what they got to do at home.
Separate it out. This is for drugs. This is for drugs.
Yeah. Some of them, dude, I don't know. Like you talk to some, it's just like they got dealt a shit hand and now there's like pulling yourself out of a hole sometimes. But I mean, I'm sure drugs were usually there, but
yeah, I mean
a lot of them are just smoking weed, dude. I remember one time I gave a guy a 5-spot, like walking by. He's like, oh, you want to hit this, buddy? Any other time I'd be hitting that, but I cannot hit that joint from you. One, I don't need herpes. And two, God knows what the fuck you put in there.
Want some angel dust, buddy?
I didn't know you like to get wet. Oh, nice.
So, what about those aliens in Ohio?
Oh, I don't even know, man. At first, like I saw Shane put that up, like because he got a bunch of like screenshots and stuff of this little alien running around Lake Catholic, like where I went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, my parents used to live right over there. But I want to say, yeah, but it looks so fake. It looks so fake.
Right.
They're like, but again, who knows? I mean, dude, Lake Erie, I've seen UFOs over Lake Erie all the time, dude. It's like a thing, like sightings over here. It's not uncommon. So, hey, shit, maybe they are little green dudes.
There's many species, I hear. So you've seen a UFO with your own eyes, though?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
The one that's like the coolest story, my buddy lived like right on the
multiple?
Lake. Multiple?
Multiple UFO stories?
Well, dude, you see the lights moving around here. It's like not that uncommon, like especially over the lake. Like
okay.
If you're closer to the lake, you are like the better chance you have of seeing shit. But my buddy lived right on the lake, and we were chilling outside having beers. We were like, I don't know, I was still in high school. I was like 17 or something like that, chilling outside smoking weed probably. And like we're sitting there, and then you see like one light just come up out of the water, and like you don't really think about it. And then it's like you see the second one, and then so a third one and a fourth one, like they all come up and stay in a line. Super fucking weird. And then like they ascend in like the reverse order they came up in. So they goes down that way, down, down, down into the water. And then you see them, they all come up back at once, all four, and then they just like disappear. Trippy as fuck.
Yeah, that's weird. I've never seen anything like that.
I just looked at him. I go, dude, what the fuck was that? He goes, yeah, dude, we see those all the time. Like, he's like, no big deal. It's like, yeah, it's a thing.
I had a friend who saw something similar to that here near the beach, and they recorded it on their phone. And the next day, it was deleted from their phone, and they got all these strange numbers from like unknown that were kind of asking them about it.
Weird.
It's really weird.
Oh, well, I don't know if you heard the Bledsoe episode we had on, that we just had Ryan Bledsoe on.
His
dad, like, see, like he basically kind of got abducted and shit. And
wait, when was that? Was that like very recent or not that long ago?
Cause I'm, we had him a little while ago.
I think I heard that episode actually.
Yeah, so he his dad, like all this shit, so he's had like all the alphabet agencies come over, the DOD, Jesuits, like the Vatican sent people, like he's like it's some like real shit, like. And that's so he talks about too, like I was about to ask you what you think UFOs actually are.
Me?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, what do you think aliens are?
I think that aliens, if anything, like kind of live among us. And I think that there's also aliens that live out in the galaxy, I guess, because it's so big. But I do think that aliens live among us. So
100%. So my thought is they're ultra dimensional or interdimensional or whatever mm-hmm. that is. And because I call me crazy, like I start to lean more towards like flat Earth, and it makes more sense, especially if these are ultra-dimensional, inter-dimensional. They're among us. We can't see them. They're not with our frequency and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they can pop in and out. I think that's what those ships are. Those are like their vehicles to actually show themselves or come into this realm or whatever you want to call it. This plane.
Yeah.
Planet, whatever you want to call it. Throw a T at the end. Throw a cross. But they're not from space. I think that's like the biggest fucking play on all of us, space. It just doesn't make sense, well, man.
Honestly, I think about that all the time, because just something as simple as your dog. So the way that they perceive, like if I was cooking a soup with 20 different ingredients in it, a dog can smell each ingredient separately and mm-hmm. together. We can't, because we don't have those senses in our nose.
Right.
So who's not to say that there's a shit ton of stuff going on that we can't see with our eyes, you know?
Well, shit, just little kids, even dogs and stuff like that. They see stuff like yeah. ghosts. Like I'm torn between what ghosts are. I don't know if those are actually like some spirits here or it's actually ultra-dimensional people, but it's like, you know, of a place that's like got that feel, like it's just like, this place doesn't feel right. Cause that's the thing. It's this world's fucking weird, but like, rooms, inanimate objects, they hold like feelings and shit, dude. It holds that energy in, whatever it is, dude. You just know certain shit. And that's the other thing, people don't listen to their intuition enough anymore. They blow that shit off. And that's, I think, one of the tricks is like, you second guess, you know how like whenever you're like, oh, I think I'm gonna do this, no, you convince yourself, you talk yourself out of what your gut is telling you. And how often is your gut right? 99% of the time.
Yep.
Like you just have a good feeling about shit, and that's always right. You got to run with that shit. And I think that's how you kind of succeed in this world, is like trusting your instincts and whatever the universe is showing you, whether that be synchronicities or anything else like that.
Exactly. I mean, I got this calling to start a podcast. I'm really not tech savvy at all, and I just went with it. So it's been going good so far.
Well, I feel like a jackass because people would always tell me, because I mean, I ramble at the bar. I talk with everybody. They're like, dude, you should do a podcast. You're fun to listen to. I'm like, all right. And people always said that shit. And then like, we finally did it. And like, it's got legs. It's taken off. It's
awesome.
It's way different than I ever expected it to be. And way more work. I thought it was just like, hey, I just call you, record it and throw that shit up, man. It's not that easy.
So it's taking a lot of your time up. Do you see yourself going back to, you know, your day job that you used to have? Or
I'm never going back to a 9-to-5. Like I've said that and people are like, oh, okay, we'll see. Like, no, dude, I'll figure out another way to make money. I'm too smart. I can figure it. I know too many people. I'll figure it out, man. Like right now I'm cool, just chilling. But I can't do the 9-to-5 no more, man. Like that aerospace, the engineering shit, just the people I'm around. Like I would drive into work and I could just like feel the knot in my stomach, like forming the closer I got every day doing that shit. And it takes its toll on you, man. That's how you fucking age.
I think so too. And I work a 9-to-5 currently, but I work from home and I've worked from home for 4 years. So it was before all of the COVID stuff. And I think that since then I felt free because I can do whatever I want to do. I can work wherever I want to work. I can work outside. I can work inside. I can work in another state. I can work long hours or short hours, or, you know, just kind of.
Well, and then some people would say, well, Ken, you could have gotten a job like that too. It's like, yes and no, it's not that easy.
Well, kind of where I was going with that though, is I think that what COVID did, making everyone work remotely, was almost open their eyes to see that how fucked up the 9-to-5 life is, because you can do most of your jobs from home. And that just gives you a sense of freedom, even if you're not necessarily 100% free.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
No, it is an eye-opening thing. Cause even I never got the chance to, but.
Well, you're doing it right now with your podcast.
Right. But I'm saying like doing the aerospace, cause we did manufacturing and shit. So a lot of times I had to be there, but even then when I was still there, they were like rotating people in. So, hey, you don't want too many people in there. So they like half the engineers were in and out. All the guys were like, dude, there's only certain times I have to come in. Like when there is a real issue, I drive in, but I don't have to be here every fucking day. I'm like, tell me about it. But then of course I was, they moved me over to supervision. So I had to show up every fucking day like a jackass.
So it's kind of been a blessing in disguise for you.
Oh, I said me getting laid off was like, it's weird. I've been bitching about my job. I've been saying I'm going to quit. I'm like, I got to get myself in the right position. And that's just a way of saying like, you're just delaying it, dude. Just fucking get your shit together and do it already. And like I said, I was standing at the edge of the cliff. I just needed to fucking jump. And blessing in disguise, I got a huge severance package when they left, when they like fired me. So I'm like, wait, you're going to pay me for this? And my boss is like, yeah, sorry. I'm like, dude, I'm walking out. I go, not going to lie to you, I was thinking about quitting here in a little bit. So dude, you just paid me for something I wanted to do. So there's a real blessing. And it was a good chunk of cash. And again, I don't feel bad saying I'm making unemployment. So it's like, I'm cool, just chilling. My money's not really going anywhere. But push come to shove, I am going to have to do something eventually. I'm hoping like, hell, podcast monetizes even more so I can just do this shit full time.
Right. So your podcast has a wide variety of topics that you've covered, like conspiracy, spirituality type stuff. What are some of your favorite topics that you've either covered or like to research yourself?
Oh man. Well, I'm like ADD when it comes to this stuff. I go in and out, like I'll get super into like shit, man. I was all about Bishop Gators for the longest time. So Boule was like my thing. Every time I see a black guy on TV, I'm like, that motherfucker's Boule.
Wait. What?
Do you not know what the Boule is?
No.
Oh my goodness. So the Boule is like the black skull and bones. It's B-O-U-L E with the, like the umlaut or whatever the hell over the E. But yeah, it's the Black Skull and Bones, and it's like how they control. They have like certain fraternities that that protect the 13 like bloodlines or the 13 families kind of deal, like in America. Uh-huh. So, well, actually not even America, because there's the Lee family over that deals with China and the opium trade over there. You got the Habsburgs, you got the Warburgs, Onassis, Kennedys, and shit like that. But each one is made to kind of like the fraternity. So there's like the legal one. There's one with finance. There's all this shit. So they like are overseers of like the Black people that deal with these families and their institutions. So all these people are controlled. And then there's also, well, okay, LeBron James, why does he have a fraternity tattoo on his chest? He didn't go to college. That's the Boulay tattoo. Like he's a part of it. So like all the shit he says, that's why he doesn't speak out against China. Doesn't like say anything really controversial. So that's kind of what they're in. They do sacrifices. They say Kobe Bryant was trying to get out. Sacrificed him. Again, Gators does this whole deep dive. He's way better than me. I'm just kind of spitballing off the top of my head. The Wakanda guy, whatever his name is, he was sacrificed. But then you see a lot of these guys get buck broken. And what Gator says being buck broken is this is what they did to the slaves. This is the way he described it. So when they came back, if they weren't going to be subservient, you know, follow directions and all that shit, they would buck break them. So what they do is they tie them face first to the ground with their arms and legs stretched out. And then sometimes they would have either their son rape them, you know, they put bags over their heads, and that's where the term motherfucker comes from. And all this shit is because they would have them do that. And that's called being buck broken. So they would do that to these celebrities. So they're probably either sucking dick or getting fucked in the ass. And you got to remember, like, Black community, that's not like an easy thing. Like, you know what I mean? Coming out gay and shit.
Right.
So that's like a good way to control these people. So, hey, oh, you want to do that? We could just tell everybody what happened. Like, you look at happened. I don't know if you know Dwight Howard. I'm sure he was trying to do something different, get out. He's a basketball player. And then all of a sudden, all over the papers, he's banging a transsexual girl now.
Yeah.
Like they just smear people. You could see it. They shame people all the time whenever they try to go out of line.
It's really easy to see in general now. I mean, if you research, even though I didn't know anything about that, you know, there's obviously the whole Hollywood aspect of it in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have one of my friends who's been on my show a couple of times. She's MK Ultra asset, mm-hmm. Who's been like heavily, heavily used. She says that she's 11 from Stranger Things is based on her. So she's told me like a lot all about that. And every time I see anything about Hollywood and even anything in general come out on the news, it's there for a reason. There's a reason why they're covering this. There's a reason why they're covering the Spring Breakers in Miami. How many shootings have happened all week, and they're focusing on the one in Boulder, which
I was going to say Chicago. Yeah. Then, people got shot. 3 died. No one said
exactly,
anything. You know why?
Every fucking day. Cause it's block on block.
Boom. And that's the way it is. And they can't like accept that shit. But real quick, you know, Stranger Things, you know, that's real, right? You know what they're originally going to call it?
What?
Project Montauk. Cause that was what it's based off of, the whole military operation doing exactly that.
Exactly. It's completely real. And
you got to look up all the disappearances of kids around there too, around that time.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts, dude.
I just got the chills when I think about stuff like that, because it's so true. And that's what honestly just kills me today about people trusting our government. It's like, how many examples in history do you need to hear about? Because
that's the weird dichotomy of it, dude. You talk to any of these people, you go out, you go, do you trust the government? Every single one of them goes, hell no. But then they're the first ones to fucking line up for the jab, or they're the first ones to be like,
dude, I want a donut every day, so I'm gonna go get the
jab. Like, holy dude, the Best of the One restaurant around here like put something out like don't get a donut. Why don't you actually exercise, get vitamin D, do all this shit? Dude, they were getting hammered by all these freaking lefties and everything like that. Why are you shaming people? And it's like they put up stats of like, okay, the more susceptible to COVID are the fat people. And guess what? You know what the number one killer in America is? Heart disease. You know what the number one symptom of that is? Obesity. Like, right. Dude. And that's the stupid shit. And I just saw actually a movie theater here in Cleveland is giving away popcorn if you have your vaccine. So
do you know how cheap popcorn is? Like, is that worth more than your soul?
Come to Cleveland. You'll see people line up around the block for that shit.
I see.
Dollar Dog Night. Oh my God. At the Indians game. Woo! I don't know who from Ohio here listens, but there's a lot of hillbillies bringing their families out for dinner there. That's all I know.
My dad was kind of like that. Like, he's a veteran and he would just go around to every restaurant he could on Veterans Day. And he would be like, I'm going to take you out to ice cream. And he would take me to IKEA for ice cream. Or he's like, I know the place with the best nachos around. And we go to like 7-Eleven for the movie.
Hey, it's the thought, man. At least he thought of something.
Oh God. If you only knew. I, after talking to Penny, I'm starting to think that he has some type of like MK Ultra, because he was at, Fort Detrick, I think is what it's called.
Fort Detrick.
Yeah, Fort Detrick in Maryland, where they did a bunch of like experiments on humans.
Anthrax came from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was reading about that. And then there's another one. I thought it was in the South, but I could be wrong, that they did experiments on like monkeys or something like that.
I think that's the one in Georgia. I can't think of it now.
And I'm pretty sure he was stationed there too. And he's crazy. Like he could be.
Well, shit, not even the experiments. You know how much they get shot up? Like, one girl I know, she was she Army?
But yeah.
Dude, they just get, anything new coming up, yep, here, you need this. And
he won a lawsuit for that very reason, exactly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I'm about to win a lawsuit. I got a 5G tower right outside my house.
So. I'm about to win a lawsuit. My place for 2021.
At least pay for my tinfoil I have to put
maybe
on.
Maybe I'll get the
day.
Jab just so I can win a lawsuit in the future.
You don't want to do that, man. That jab.
Did you get the COVID vaccine 20 years ago? You could be entitled to compensation.
Oh, you know that's going to happen. Well, shit. No, that's not going to happen, because you know what? Everyone's going to be probably dead.
Don't say that. My mom got it behind my back, even though I've been telling her all about it. So now I'm just like, you know, it's like easy to post these things and like, you know, and then someone you know gets it, and what if we're right, you know?
I tell them all the time, man, like my sister, I think she might have got it and not told me or said anything, because she's kind of, I don't know, a little bit more left and all that shit. But I even told my mom and my dad, I'm like, dude, one thing, don't, please don't, like, if they're pushing it, have they ever pushed a flu shot this hard? No. Then like, what? No. My dad's like, I don't buy that bullshit. He goes, you know, I don't believe the government about anything. I go, yeah, all right. He goes, I listen to a couple of your podcasts. You're nuts. But then I even told my mom, she opts out. She goes, oh, I just tell him I'm Buddhist. So I can't take it, even though I don't even know how that's a thing, because I'm Buddhist. And I don't think that's like a real thing to say, but she opts out. She's a nurse practitioner. So she, they push that shit all the time.
So was your household political growing up? No, nah. Me neither. Nah. What about religions? You said you're Buddhist now, you said?
Yeah. So okay. We kind of grew up Catholic, I guess you can say. So I went to Catholic school from like, what, first grade to fourth grade or something like that. And I fucking hated it so much, dude. Like, I just hated religion class. I just hated the uniforms. And my mom finally let me go to a public school until high school. And then I played hockey. So I had to go to like a Catholic school. That's all you can really go to play hockey around here. But then I remember the one year in high school, like it was around Christmas, because she would make us go every Christmas Eve at midnight or some shit like that. Or, you know what I mean? The midnight, all that bullshit. And the one year I'm just like, dude, I'm not going to go. You guys can go. She goes, you guys really don't want to go? We're like, no. She goes, I've been waiting 15 years for you guys to say this.
You still have charge in that no.
Yeah. Like, well, she's like, finally, I don't want to go. Well, same time, I feel like, because when you go to a Catholic school, you have to show your face sometimes and that shit. And I don't know if my mom was just trying to put on airs for, you know, everyone else, but dude, I hated that shit. I was a fucking punk. Like, you couldn't get me to ever go to church.
Yeah. My
what
dad
about
was,
you? Yeah.
My dad was super religious, but he has 8 kids with 6 wives now. And so I think my mom was like number 4 or something. And we,
hey, listen,
it's fine to laugh because that's all we do. Like all of our siblings, we grew up like 2 in Washington State, 2 in Venezuela, 2 in New York. Well, that's where I was born. But then we moved like 4 times. I moved to North Carolina, then Venezuela, then Florida, or then North Carolina, then Florida. And I've been in Florida since I was 2nd grade. So I moved all that before I was in 2nd grade. Then he had 2 more. And then I think he had 1 more. I don't know. I lost count. But yeah, there's a lot of us. And the oldest one's in the 40s and the youngest one is like 6 or something like that.
Catholics,
he's Christian. He's Christian.
Either way, and that whole, all that shit.
He was like
church every day.
He was the holy, the speaking in tongues one, you know, what are those?
Oh,
Pentecostal.
Yeah. That one seems more fun. I'd do that one though. They're dancing and singing and having a good time.
Yeah. Very fear mongering. So on Halloween, he used to say, turn the lights off and we're not handing out candy and you're not dressing up because it's Satan's holiday. I mean, I guess it technically is now, like looking back.
He's a good Christian. You don't believe in that? He won't wear a condom. Dude, that's just like, grace be to God, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the mental gymnastics they do to kind of come up with their shit like that. God bless them. Most Christians, Catholics are all right. I can give a shit.
I think that's part of it is the moral compass that it gives them, even though some of them are misguided on the fear part.
Well, and that's not a real Catholic or a Christian. They're not going to push their moral code on you. They're just good people. I mean, honestly, Mormons are, dude, you meet a Mormon, that's probably the nicest person you're going to meet. Now, behind doors and all that shit, Mormon religion, I hate it. Hate it. Shit, you can even say that about Scientologists too. They're a little creepy and wacky, but they're nice fucking people. You know what I mean?
Hi, that's how I you grew get people up to come 10 in. Minutes away from Scientology World Headquarters, and I disagree.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
You probably have more experience. The only ones I've really experienced, they seem kooky and wacky and out of it, but they're generally nice.
They probably are also are MKUltra.
That's what, dude. They're abusing the shit out of them. And that's like a form of mind control. I mean, I don't know if that's the MK Ultra way, but they're doing something.
Growing up 10 minutes from the world headquarters of Scientology, mm-hmm. and I'm driving there. I drive past it every day when I used to work on the beach, and they all wear the same clothes and just walk from class to class to class on their declassification of the alien that they believe in. That's going to come and take over the world.
What's crazy is you're at the place where they like have to live and shit like that. I don't know if I was by anything like that. I mean, there's the church and shit. Like I've seen like out in Seattle, there's some, but I don't know if it's like, I don't know how they all work. If they're all like the boarding houses and shit like that. I feel like they all moved to Florida or somewhere in California and like they live there. But either way, they're all fucked, man. Xenu, come on.
Xenu. Thank you. I used to, when I was a little shit, go and like skateboard down there and just run in there and be like, there is a God. And just like yell at them just to like get a reaction type thing. Cause I was always fucked up.
Well, you know, who's more fucked up though? Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes. Well, my friend is actually just telling me about that. I mean, I don't really understand what's the major difference between them and any other Christian besides they don't celebrate their birthday and shit.
They don't celebrate anything. They can't get a blood transfusion or like have surgery or take shit or anything like that. Like you're not, what happens to you is the will of God. You can't celebrate anything. Like I remember one dude I worked with out in Seattle, he was Jehovah's. I'm like, hey, happy birthday, man. He's like, okay. Like he can't like be happy. I go, are you doing anything? He goes, nope, just going home, having dinner, going to bed. It's like, so they're like, I feel like they're close to Amish people. That's what I feel like they're close to. Like a lot
but
of.
But are beliefs. Amish people like? Is that a religion or is that just like their way of life?
Yeah, they're. I think they're technically Greek Orthodox, or not Greek, German Orthodox, or something like that. But no, they're like an offshoot of like just an Orthodox religion. Like I feel like it's similar to Jehovah's Witnesses, though. Like they excommunicate and all that shit. I don't know. Maybe I'm just dumb. That's my perception in my head of the two. I feel like Jehovah's Witnesses, the little brother of Amish people.
So, but you claim to be a Buddhist. That's like what you are practicing, agree with their like philosophies? I mean, what is your?
Well, I mean, right now, like on my fridge, I have the Wheel of Dharma. Like it's a way to live, but it's not even like they're telling you how to live. It's like more of a reminder, like the Wheel of Dharma, like right view, right thinking, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right diligence, right mindfulness, right concentration. It's just like, if you think, it's not even that you have to think about that shit. It's like, when you look at it, you're like, okay. And then you think about some of the things like even I did before that. I'm like, was I really that diligent on that shit? Or like, did I act the right way? It just makes you like understand like the fullness of life. Like you just, it in the teachings and the meditation and like, I believe in the, like we're obviously reincarnated here. We're here for that. We're here to figure out life and we're supposed to, so to speak, we reach that enlightenment and we don't come back. You know, that's what I think.
And that's what I was just going to say is, do you think that reincarnation is here kind of like on this 3D realm?
So where it's weird. Okay. So I just heard Ryan Bledsoe was on Tinfoil Hat and he was actually texting me, telling me this, like, so when he says it and explains it, he goes, so these people that his dad saw, like they were pure light. And it was that they are the creators here. They created us and they leave messages everywhere for us to kind of try to like come to your higher self, the higher, you know, the fifth dimension, so to speak. And that's what they want us to level up and get out of this. This is like a thing they created for us for whatever reason. But, and that's kind of like, that makes sense to me. And they want us to be there with them. So like a lot of these angels, we want to call them sometimes aliens. I don't know, but there are inherent bad ones, but I think the good ones here are there to guide us, to get us out of, I mean, if you think about it, this could be hell when you think about it. Did you mute yourself?
Yeah, I think it could be as well, but I also think that it potentially could be worse. I mean, I think that based on things that I've read, when you drink or do like,
why do you think it's called spirits?
Exactly. And when you're stuck in this drinking only phase, I'm like, I mean, eventually I would like love to stop drinking, period, because I've done it for extended periods of time. And I just feel like a completely different person. You see so much clearer.
And that's fine. You like, this is part of the life. Listen, you had that experience and you're over it now. And that's not like, cause Shane's starting to like wean himself off booze too. Cause he's starting to feel, I mean, dude, honestly, if you think about it, he's like, yeah. I still want to have drinks, but he goes, I'm feeling shittier every time I go out. He goes, I'm just going to kind of, cause I want to stop by the end of the year. And I honestly, if he really wants to, I think he can. But it again, it's just like a next phase of your life. Like they say, what is that? The Saturn return or whatever that is. You know, when you hit 30, I was talking to our guy today, Marty Leeds, and he like, it's weird that he brings that up because at 30 years old, it is almost like an aha moment kind of when you wake up, but it's not like, oh, I got it all figured out. It's like, oh, like that way of thinking was dumb. And you start asking more questions. I don't know. Maybe that's just me and how I got in the, I mean, I was always in the conspiracy world, but it's just like, I started asking more questions and wondering why, like it, why are we really here, so to speak? So it's like more of a, feel like you kind of, it's a time you have to find yourself or you can get lost.
Well, that's the reason why I always resonated with Albert Einstein for a few different reasons. He was always asking why. It wasn't necessarily like, obviously he was a genius on physics and stuff like that, but he always wanted to know why it was that way. And also another thing is that he had a hard time. I think he didn't have his first word till he was really old. And mm-hmm. his teachers thought that he was mentally retarded because he thought so much differently than everyone else. And he ended up just being a complete genius who wasn't just processing reality in the same way. Well, see, we were. So
back then they called him retarded. And what do they call you today? Crazy. Fucking crazy. Ken's crazy. He believes. Like, yeah, I'm just nuts, man. Yeah. Cause you see me. I'm so irrational. You know what
that's
I mean?
By design.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why they called him retarded. Cause you know what if they would have went through the whole ringer of like what they did to retarded kids back then, he wasn't going to be Albert Einstein. If his parents didn't, if they would have stuck him in one of those institutions, he would have been just another number, man.
Yep.
But then again, I think he's a puppet. So it would just been another puppet for him. If you believe the whole story of Einstein too, like that's,
I know,
like, I get real cynical with this shit when it comes to like these guys, well, especially like radio. Einstein. Well, like, you know how they say everyone loved Albert Einstein? Did they?
No, I don't think so.
It's like Bill Gates today. No, it's not going to be like, it's how they write the history books. Once everyone dies, no one will know.
Yep.
And that's the sad part. That's why I get real cynical with like the guys in history, man.
So are you saying that you think that they thought he was crazy back then?
What I think is that story's made up.
And do you think he exists?
Yeah. I think he's probably real, but I think that fairy tale story they have of all these guys. Oh, when I was a kid, he came over this and did all that. Really? You really believe all that? No, that's all bullshit and fairy tales to make them all seem like they're great.
Okay.
That's just me though. Again, my cynicism's coming out. I feel like an old man.
Yeah. So just kind of going back a little bit, the book I was thinking about too, it's called This Naked Mind. It's about alcohol and how it's not a conspiracy book by any means. It's just this lady who stopped drinking. And it talks about all of these, like the way it's another form of mind control. That's why it's pushed on us. They want us to be dumbed down. So that's part of it. But I sometimes think, like, if you're aware of these types of things and you, it maybe won't penetrate you as much, I guess, you know?
But have you ever thought, though, if just kind of knowing it's there is giving it credence and shit, it's giving it power?
Yeah.
As opposed to like, but again, that then you say if you ignore it, you're just being ignorant. That's like a weird dichotomy I kind of think of, too. It's like, dude, if you kind of like really focus in on it, you're giving it its power.
But what if you're not focusing on not, like you're saying when you quit drinking, yeah, you're just not, okay.
That's what I think. It's like, again, attention's everything with, I don't know where I was going with it.
No, I agree. That's what I say all the time. Like, it's your intention. I say that about everything.
Every time you say the N-word? I'm kidding.
Break that down. No, I don't say that word. But let me lose my train of thought. I was going to ask you what your opinion is on Jesus Christ.
So the Buddhist look at it all is his name was Yusuf Ben Yosef, or I forget what the way it actually is, but Von Galt talks about it when we had her on. Ben Yosef. Either way, though, they have a name for him. They know who he is. So you know that, like the blood, you know, the missing years of Jesus Christ in the Bible and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he went to Hindu temples and like Buddhist temples and shit like that. He was gone learning all this like knowledge and like
100%. I agree.
So he became basically a Buddha.
He's enlightened.
That's all Buddha is. And exactly. Like, he just sees things for what they are. And that's why I think he had powers. Cause listen, you know, it's more of the manifestation power. It's not more or less him just like touching something and it's changing like that. Or he's actually walking on water. I think a lot of those are metaphors for a lot of things too. But I think he was, again, real person or not, I think his, whatever he is in the Bible, they perverted it. That's why they leave books out. That's why they don't Like the whole Christian religion, Catholic, whatever it is, it's all perverted. And I think there is like one true religion that started it all. There was one story told way back. What we actually knew what the fuck was going on. And I think just different regions started worshiping in different ways, man. And then it just kept getting perverted and then people could use it to their advantage. And I think Buddhism and Hinduism are probably the closest things to like what's real. I don't know enough about Hinduism. And Buddhism makes sense to me right now. So I'm just going to kind of stick
with
that.
They're very related. And my friend, she's Tao, which is also very much related. And they have similar beliefs.
It's not even beliefs, though.
Well, exactly. Exactly. But
that's what I love about it.
They just kind of merge into each other a bit. And it's... I mean, so does Christianity and Catholicism and Pentecostalism, Judaism, and baptism and Judaism and all of that bullshit. All of those religions.
No, you could say it is all bullshit.
Because I do think that there's a tiny little kernel of truth in there. But I do have friends who are able to channel and are able to harness their higher powers that, in my opinion, we all have. And all of them say the same thing about him, is that he is a light being that is readily available for people who call on him.
Dude, Shane calls himself a starseed all the time, man. And if anyone who like hasn't, I like saying this, but who hasn't meditated before, like, dude, take the time. It's practice. It's like riding a bike. You're not going to be able to do 20 minutes at a time. Dude, sit down, do five. Just start getting used to it, because you get some amazing things. I remember when I had my past life regression, when I did that, that's the most mind-blowing shit ever. If you've ever get a chance to do that, I tell everybody, find someone who can channel or do any of that. Like a Reiki healer can do a lot of that. But the past life regression shit, it's bizarre, because the feelings are all real. Everything is like not even familiar. It's like, oh, this is me. It's like that feeling, because you're seeing it through your own eyes there. And I remember like waking up, like coming to, and I just had tears coming down my face, and I was just like freaked out. Like
you did that in meditation?
Like, well, I've been trying for a while. It was a guided meditation. It was an hour and a half of your past life regression.
Okay.
So someone had a video out and I did all that. Dude, it was trippy as fuck, dude. You can all do it. And like, that was when I was really meditating a lot. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't practice what I preach, because I get on and off. So it's like,
I feel like really it's not. Phases. It's phases, yeah. Just like the moon.
For real. And it's so true. Cause there'd be certain months I'm just like meditating all the time. Now it's like, I don't know. I'd rather read. So
I go through phases of reading too. I will read a bunch and then I just won't pick up a book for a while.
The good thing is I don't have cable or anything like that. So it's like the worst is I can get in a YouTube rabbit hole, but I'm not going to be watching TV all the time.
Or off the air rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I showed him some Adult Swim Cartoon Network, right? It's the same thing. Adult Swim.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a show called Off the Air. And if you have not ever seen this, you should really watch it. They're like 10 minutes long and they're very weird. And you have to watch the whole thing, because you can't just turn it off after you see the first 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one you sent me, I'm like, dude, I'm not about this life. Sorry, girl, I'm done. And you're like, no, you got to watch it. I'm like, I watched like 3 minutes, dude. I'm good. She goes, no, you got to watch it to the end. These videos are trippy as hell, though. They're fun.
You're like, I'm about to block you.
I was like, yeah, this is cool. What the fuck is going on? Like,
oh, that's hilarious. I just have to say, if you're going to watch it, you have to watch Body and Animals. Those are my favorite. I think you said Space was good too.
Yeah, I like Space. I like Space.
So you said you've been reading a lot, and I know we've talked a little bit. You're reading the book called The Secret Terrorists. It's about Jesuits, right?
All about the Jesuits and their plan to take over. Well, really, they move over. It's world domination is what they want. And then now there's sites are set on the U.S. since we basically became a country, because they deem our constitutional as like satanic. Like that whole like, what is it? Sovereign conscious, like conscience and all that shit. And yeah, they don't like that. They see that as a sign of the devil because they need conformity to the Pope and all that. That's why they hate the Orthodox Christians. That's why they hate the Protestant Christians, because they don't really follow the Pope like that. So they get rid of all these. That's World War One was about getting rid of Orthodox. World War Two was about getting rid of Orthodox as well. A few other things with World War Two. But they dictate these things to get things in their favor. These false flags, Oklahoma City, 9/11. It's weird to think that the Vatican and the Pope are like trying to be a world domination. But like this guy, this what he precludes to is that their ultimate goal is to go back to like the Dark Ages when the papacy ruled the world, essentially. That's what they want again. Full control over the world.
They're supposedly the Society of Jesus, and they just think that anyone else is, I mean, I guess these people who are behind all this, do they really, really think that they are doing good? I mean, I don't understand that.
And that's the weird thing with this. So, and even in this guy's book, so the book's called The Secret Terrorist by Bill Hughes. His connections with some shit, it's like, well, he was this, so then he is a part of the Jesuits. So some of these people, they went to Jesuit schools, and like, I'll pull up their actual, like what they say when they like become.
I was just looking for
like
that.
A priest. So. Yeah, they have it here. I forget what exactly it is, but Keep talking. Let me find this shit real quick. Or actually, you can cut this out, right?
Well, another thing that I was going to say actually is when you brought up the sovereignty, I think that's part of the events that take place. So for instance, like the easiest one that I can think of is like the Super Bowl. So if they have all these subliminal messages and you yourself are watching them, even though they look satanic and like disgusting, you were essentially saying that I agree to watch this and I agree to take place in your bullshit.
And that's what kills me. It was about the Super Bowl. Like I wanted to watch halftime show just to see how satanic this shit was. And right. I was talking to someone else. I'm like, am I giving it power? Cause I just need to know what the hell they're doing. Like, but I'm not celebrating like everyone else. Like, oh, that was amazing. That was great. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. And the thing that I was thinking of, cause when I first started looking into this, I remember I just like started getting sick. It was about, and I don't know if this is true or not. So if this is not what you're talking about, but it says that I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war.
Kill, maim.
Yeah, it says that I am directed to do, extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition. I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the wall in order to annihilate forever their race.
Yeah, whatever the hell that, because
disgusting ass race that we want to extinguish from humanity forever. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poison cup, the vaccine.
How about all the presidents they killed? Andrew Jackson, William Henry Harrison, Zachary Taylor, James Buchanan, they tried to kill him. He knew that the other three were poisoned with arsenic, so he told his doctor that I'm not sick. This is arsenic poisoning. It's the only reason he fucking lived. But the best is Lincoln knew he was about to be killed. The guy he was helping out, like it's. And they, so first of all, they tried to kill Ulysses S. Grant too. At the same time, they killed Lincoln, Seward, the Secretary of State, and Andrew Johnson, the Vice President as well. They were all assassination attempts out on them, and they were all Jesuit ordered. So, and they, all these guys, because Andrew Jackson didn't want the Federal Reserve, didn't want a central bank. Central bank is the bank of the Vatican, which is, well, really the Rockefellers, but the Rockefellers are with the Vatican. It's just the financial arm of the Vatican. But again, this that's the picture this guy paints. I think that the Vatican is a big role in a lot of it. I don't know if they're pulling all the strings, but then when you think about it, the Pope's always at all these different countries. They all wine and dine him. He's always like, what are you doing? Like what? And especially in America, we're supposed to be like what, this non-Christian, well, supposedly like non-religious country or anything like that, but yet the Pope's always here calling the shots. Yep. It seems odd.
And furthermore, the meeting that he had with Trump, he was visibly upset during that. And that kind of brings me to my next question, because I know that.
Hey, real quick, you know, Trump, Jesuit.
That was my next question. Thanks. So mm-hmm. Do you believe that Donald Trump is a Jesuit?
Yep. 100%. I think that he played. Well, you got to look at his son-in-law went to Georgetown. His kids are all going to his daughter went to Jesuit school. He went to Fordham, I think, whether it be graduate school or something like that. But Trump went to Fordham, which is a Jesuit school as well. So it's just, and again, I don't know if it's like and that's the weird thing. That's the connections this guy made too. It's like, oh, they're a part of this so it's like hard to tie those ties, but if the connection's there, it's hard to say it's not a thing.
So do you think that he's evil?
What is evil?
Do you think that he is a pawn in the scheme of world domination to depopulate and destroy humanity as we know it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the last person that really they let in there to let have change was Kennedy, and they killed him. This is the Jesuits doing this shit. Like, so from Lincoln on is they had control of this shit. And then Kennedy comes along because I think the mob kind of got him in. But then at the same time, the mob's tied in with the Vatican as well. So I think that there is something happened there. Kennedy got in, and maybe he did say he was going to play ball. And when he got in, finally, he's like, no, fuck this shit. Either way, these are all puppets, man. If you really think... I was all in on the Trump train for a minute, but then it just got to be like, really? You got to remember, he is an actor. Remember his show?
They all are actors.
Trump,
a lot of them
had the best television show on network TV for how long? He's an actor.
He was also in Home Alone.
Yeah, big role there. Now, I'm just saying, though, he had like the TV show, and everyone forgets, like, oh, he can't act. Oh, you think that's real reality television? Are you dropped on your head? Like, come on. Like, no, that they're all acting. He's an actor. It's so if you really thought, again, I'd like to use the Carlin quote. If you think voting really matters, you think they'd let you do it?
Well, this is Kenny from Black Pill Radio.
Well, that's how I think, dude.
And I wanted to ask about that because, you know, your show wasn't always called that. It used to be called Hold Up. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And recently you changed it to Black Pill Radio. So what was your thought process on that? Are you black pilled? And what does black pill mean to you?
Yeah. So, well, one, we wanted to start marketing our podcast a little bit more and be able to sell it. You know, I mean, people got to know what the hell they're listening to too. So we thought about, okay, can we do merch with this? Like, how do we make a t-shirt, our logos, like whatever. We just had someone make one for us. So like, we're thinking of different ways we can actually monetize it with Hold Up, Wait a Minute. We sat down for like an hour. We couldn't really get anywhere. Like everything was just kind of dragging our feet. And we had a bunch of different names like lined up. We were kind of thinking about maybe changing it to. And the Black Pill came up and Black Pill Radio. We went Black Pill Radio because we kind of want to have like our YouTube. We have another podcast under us. So we want to kind of like have a whole radio with us being the Black Pill is like the head thing, I guess, on it. But yeah, Black Pill is like the best thing we thought of too, because it's not that. Because we originally Black Pill's like, okay, it's all bullshit, it's all a lie, you know, it's never gonna get better kind of shit. This is the shithole we're in, and you see it all around. I don't think that's really what the Black Pill is to me and Shane. It's like we recognize the game they're playing around us. Like we recognize the deception. I think it's more than the Red Pill, because Red Pill thinks there's good guys. Black Pill, there really aren't any good guys, dude. Like honestly, that are in charge, they're actually pulling the strings. There aren't really any good guys. That's not going to happen. Anyone who thinks good, it's probably a deception to get you to go along with something. Nothing's a coincidence. So with the Black Pill, it's like, dude, we recognize it and we just want to use the system to benefit us. Like the system's there again, like people, when they say, when they want to send a 5D, listen, motherfucker, you're here on earth. You got to live this life. So you got to do something with it. And Hotep Jesus said like a good thing. He's like, I just know how to use this system within their game. He goes, I will use it, but I am not living in there. He goes, I will use it against them. So I guess that's kind of where it is. I don't know if that really made sense or summed it
do
up.
Do you oscillate between black-pilled and something potentially, I guess, more hopeful?
Well, and to say black-pilled doesn't mean there's no hope. That's not what it means. It's just because the more people that see it, it's a good – it's not – like, I don't know. See, that's, it's hard to describe. It's,
well,
not
okay. And here's where I'm going with that.
All hope's lost. Yeah.
Here's where I'm going with that. Because I've, in the way that you described what black pill was
to me,
first,
at least
in the first, in the first sentence, kind of like where there's no hope, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Like when I started looking into conspiracies, I was in high school. Like I knew about Bohemian's Grove and New World Order and all that shit, and terrifying, you know, fucking right, terrifying. Yeah. So that to me was my black pill. And I often consider Trump's involvement in it, because to me, there's only two options. There's one. Yeah, great. There is a plan and he's coming, not necessarily him, but if Q was actually legitimate and mm-hmm. it's a real operation that's occurring, or two, it's to pacify the masses. And I really think it's important for the people who are following Q to consider that other possibility and constantly be thinking about it, because I think that otherwise it's, you're just going to be blindsided in that respect. And so I don't know if that necessarily puts me, oh, and then the third part of that for me is I truly do believe that we are creators of the universe. So if we are living in this space where you have hope for humanity and you think this is going to be the outcome, there will be, if there's more people growing that outcome on this timeline, I don't necessarily think that that's a bad or negative thing.
No, and I guess for me, it's not, for me, the black pill, it's like not believing all the shit they pump out there and seeing, but recognize it, see it for what it is. But don't, like, just don't get emotional, because that's what it is. It's a big, everything's loose, dude. They want your energy, dude. They want to harvest your energy. That's what they want. That's why all this negative shit always comes out. Mass shootings, this, blah, blah, blah. It's just one big negative energy dump that they get to suck right in and use. And it's, you can't, that's what the black pill is. It's, don't let them even, don't give them your energy, man. Don't get,
well,
mad.
That's where my, like, memes come in.
Right, well, it's a way to get it out, man,
because I'm trying to transmute the negative energy that is placed into laughter at the fuckery that is the situation. Right. So that's like where my intention is with my ass memes.
And see, black pill, it's we bring on the people that have the, like, the ideas you never heard of or thoughts you never really thought that no one else is really going to have, like, people to talk about. I mean, yeah, some of the people we get are on other shows and shit like that, but it's, we find them interesting before they were even on the show. So it's like, it's just someone that we know that people could really jive with and, like, use to their benefit. Like, dude, Von Galt, my favorite Buddhist teacher, favorite author, like, dude, I know she's helped people, and I know she's helped people through our show. And it's, that's what we want to do. It's just open people's eyes and just kind of, like, I don't know, let everyone know, dude, the world is bad, but it ain't all bad, dude.
I do think that's one of the most important things that you can do on this planet and your time here is helping people from a genuine place, because one of my first philosophical topics that I used to always explore would be the idea of being altruistic. Are you ever really altruistic? Do you truly help someone who's drowning because you actually care about their life, or because you want to be seen as a hero? And that's a very extreme example, of course, but kind of in the way of your karmic debt, you know what I'm trying to say?
Oh yeah, I get, again, I think it's going to get a little hocus pocus, but like, I think that situation for you to save someone is put there for a reason.
To see what you would do as a test.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. In that situation, the universe put stuff there for who knows. Maybe they wanted to test it. Maybe they wanted to see like, oh, I got to do this and I'm going to be on the paper. This is going to be great. This is the best thing ever happened because I like, got rich. Right. Like maybe that's the thing.
Right.
And maybe that's a way, a different way for you to learn in this life. Like you have to figure it out in that moment. Like, what's it going to be? Like, are you going to be altruistic? Or are you going to be like, oh, you see someone struggling out there? Ah, fuck it. I only got a little bit of gas. Let's just go to shore. Like you could do that too. So it's the universe.
I only got a little bit of gas. Let's pretend we didn't see that.
You don't think people have done that before?
Dude, yes, I know.
Exactly. Like, dude, these motherfuckers, no, they don't give a shit.
It's like that, you know, the girl who got like stabbed to death a bunch of times in New York and all of the people heard about it, like heard her screaming for help and they didn't do shit. Mm-hmm. It's like that. What the fuck? I would, even if you don't go out, like you can't call somebody.
Dude, that whole place is a different animal, man.
New York City.
Mm-hmm. It's different
animal. I hate New York City personally, but that's just me.
Never been. So now I'm definitely not going to go.
Do you like trash on the streets? Do you like the smell of shit and piss everywhere? Do you like not to see the clouds for days on end? New York City is the place to go.
Well, you, I mean, I've been to Toronto, I don't know how many times. That I hear is like a clean New York City. It's
Have you
huge.
Been to Boston?
Yeah. Boston's awesome.
I lived in Boston for 3 years. I moved on a whim and I just like traveled all over the country and then ended up there not knowing a soul. And I don't like cities. Like I'm fisher. Like I like to fish. I like to go to the beach. I like to be in nature, but I wanted to experience something different There's really no other reason.
I love the outdoors. I hunt. I feel like I don't fish. I hunt. But I hate being far away from the city. I don't know. I like being with everything.
Where I live, that's how it is. I live like near cities, but there's a lot of nature here. And to me, well, I lived in Boston too in the same way. It's like New Hampshire's beautiful. Maine is beautiful. But Boston was also a really cool mix of people. And I know everyone calls them assholes, but I don't know if it's just me, but I got along with everyone there. I like direct communication and it was clean. There was no trash on the streets, like not even like cigarette butts. So
it's a different kind of city. I mean, people say Seattle's clean. I've seen the shit of Seattle. Like it,
yeah.
But at the same time, Seattle, there really isn't that many rough neighborhoods driving around downtown. You could walk down any street and be fine. It's pretty hilarious. I mean, especially coming from Cleveland, like, yeah, you can definitely walk down the wrong street here.
So what do you think about what's happening with the Evergreen being stuck in the Red Sea, right? Or is it
there? I forget, with Suez Canal or some shit like that. I kind of vaguely looked at it.
Do you just completely disconnect from any of
like
current events type thing?
I read a lot of them. Don't get me wrong, but like something like that, I'm like,
okay, so you're Ken's Cocoa Bombs, because I've never seen one. So you said you talk about news articles, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of, it's mostly like in the States though, stuff like that, like tackle nipple rings Cuomo, you know, do some dates and shit. Yeah, dude, those nipple rings are huge, dude.
He must hang like things on them. Like he must be, you know, those people who have like,
oh, the weights, yeah.
Like, yeah, no, they hang from like suspensions. He like swings off his nipples.
Dude, and just look at him. You know that guy's the biggest fucking creep in the world. So I mean, I talk about shit like that. I always have one fun one at the end. So it's like the one time they confiscated guns from a drug dealer that they were painted like Nerf guns. And I'm talking exactly like Nerf guns. Like, yeah, they had the stickers on there.
I saw that.
Badass. I love that shit. The one dude that test drove a car, went and robbed a bank with it and tried to buy the car with the stolen money, that kind of shit. Like just weird shit that happens in the States. You know what I mean? Probably down by your neck of the woods, but
I was just going to say, you should look into Florida. I bet there's a lot of those.
You'd be surprised at what the shit I hear on the reports around here about Cleveland's weird, man.
I don't think I've ever been to Ohio, actually. So
Cleveland's dope. I love it. I moved back. I don't think I'm ever going to leave here.
Well, as long as you're happy.
It's a light. Our Reiki healer told us it's a light city. So when all push comes, there's 8 light cities and Cleveland's one of them.
What are the other ones? Do you know?
I forget. Dude, she said it one time and all I heard was Cleveland. I was like, that's right. But I recognize it's like Cairo, like the big main cities and whatever Cleveland's on that list. I'm like, are you sure you're not a little biased on this one? Like,
yeah. Are you sure you didn't mean Florida?
No.
I'm biased, obviously.
I mean, yeah, don't worry. I like bath salts too. It's totally cool.
I was going that actually is funny you say that, because when you were talking about the Ken's Cocoa Bombs, I was like, that would have been a really interesting one to do.
I did make a nice meme of Biden falling, or a little gif of Biden falling up the stairs, though. I had the Life Alert right behind him as he's walking up. You know Life Alert?
Yes, I do.
I was going to say, yeah, it was pretty good.
I'm falling and I can't.
And then at the end, it's like, they've saved millions of lives every year. And that's when Biden's like saluting and going,
you made this meme?
I put it on the Cocoa Bomb. So it was like at the last end of it. So it's like, yeah.
I want to see. I haven't seen enough Biden falling up the stairs memes yet. So
you know what I think? I don't think that's really Biden. Have you seen like the, you know, old man Biden, him walking
right
around?
Well, no,
like always like this. So you know what I think it is? It's, dude, that's a mask. I think that,
well, I 100% agree. So continue.
I think it's a mask now. I was on the clone thing for a while, but I'm starting to see all these crazy masks and shit. I think lot of these people are just someone else wearing a mask, dude. And that's why I think he fell, because he got the shit. He couldn't see the stair and just slipped a few times because he got all that shit on his face.
Well, the other night on my episode, we talked about that a little bit. And she said that he left Emory University, which is a hotspot for MK Ultra. And he was reprogrammed or MK Ultra or whatever. And, that was part of the reason that he fell or something. I forget what she said. You'd have to listen. How are you feeling? Are you good? I know you had done a lot.
Oh yeah. No, that was just such a great piss. No. And then our one listener just sent me a video, a picture of her with an acid tab on her tongue. She goes, hey, we're going to have some fun tonight. Hell yeah, girl. Good for you.
Good for you. Good for you. Live your best life. So have you done a lot of psychedelics before?
I've told people I've done every drug besides like injecting heroin. I've done pretty much meth. I mean, I've done how much Adderall and shit.
Also, like if you've done ecstasy, you've probably done meth also, because you know what I mean? They put all kinds of shit in there.
Right. Well, same with that. And then, talk about psychedelics. I've done shrooms, obviously, acid, DMT.
What was your DMT experiences like?
Well, I just have the smoking kind, so it's like literally 10 minutes. But what I do is I put it on top of a bowl or like some bong rip. So I just like take in, like literally when you think you can't like inhale anymore, you keep
I've done DMT
going.
Also.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just explaining for the viewers.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about you guys.
Jeez. Get with it, girl. No, but yeah, so I just like sprinkle it on the bowl and I like rip the shit out of it. And like, you know, when you exhale, it's like, for me, it feels like time just stops kind of deal. It's just like, blink, and then I get the ringing in my ears hardcore. And then for me, it's usually I get like the lines on the wall, like along the walls and shit like that. I don't know what, it's always like these red, like almost like
bricks.
Pills. Yeah.
They look
like
bricks. Oh my God. You're the only person. Okay. So please continue, because then I'll tell you mine.
So that's usually how it starts off. And I see the bricks and I'm like, oh shit. And then dude, if I hit it hard enough, I will see the shadow people a little bit. I don't know if you've ever gotten that far, but I'll look at the bricks. I'm like, oh shit. And then you get that feeling of like, okay, everything's connected. Like everything, everything's fucking connected. And then I always see them. They're like, it's not like they're hiding back in anything. It's like they're there, but I can't really, they're not fully manifested. If that makes sense. Like they're kind of people.
Are you talking about the shadow people when you say
yeah, that? Yeah. The shadow people. And it's like, they, but they're talking to you, but they're not, it's like not words. It's like, it's just like a feeling. It's weird. It's hard to describe. But it felt good. It felt like it didn't feel bad. I mean, looking back, like thinking about them, like, oh, that is kind of scary, but it just like felt good. Like they felt like love. I don't know how to describe it, but, and then I usually start backing away. And I remember the one time I did it and Shane was sitting right here. He's like, how's it feel, man? Well, what's up? I'm like, I just remember like coming down off it and just looking at him. I go, dude, everything's connected. Like everything is connected. I'm like the chair, the table, you, me, the plant. Like I just was naming everything in the room, dude. I'm like, we're all connected somehow. Like I can't explain it, but I just know it. That's what, like the first time I did DMT, I felt that. And every time I go back, I always feel that feeling. It feels good.
I love that.
What about you?
Well, first of all, when you just said that about that everything is connected, I have a tattoo on me, which is like kind of like an outer space, like nebula type thing. And there was two phrases that I was torn between when I got it. It was everything is connected and infinite consciousness. And so I settled on infinite consciousness, but that really resonates with me when you say that. I just recently did an episode on LSD and kind of like the different trips that me and my friend who was the guest came on. Mm-hmm. And, I've done shit tons of acid, like so much acid.
Really? I'm not a big acid guy. See, I'm way more with shrooms.
I've done a lot of shrooms too. Don't get me wrong, but like, I've just mm-hmm. done a lot of psychedelics and I've always been, I feel like I have a really high tolerance for it is my point. So, but when I smoked DMT, I was like kind of scared because I had a bunch of my friends telling me all their stories and, you know, I've done tons of acid and I've never kind of like
separated that far, from that right?
body. Like, well, I did finally, but yeah, you get my drift. And so I did DMT like a few times and I just smoked it the same way that you did. And nothing happened. I don't think that I hit it enough because I was scared.
Mm-hmm. The first time I did, I kind of felt a little bit and like, it just felt like, you know, when you're like coming out of it, it's like almost that it's like the acid wavy feeling, you know what I mean? Just a mm-hmm. little bit, but it's not that long. That's right. What happened to me the first time. Cause I was scared too.
Yeah. Cause you're scared and you're like, do I want to blast off? I don't know.
But that's when I knew I wasn't ready for it though. Dude, exactly. You can't be scared.
So the time I wasn't scared, I was like, dude, what the fuck? This is like the 10th time I'm trying this shit. I don't even believe this shit works.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting in the middle of the woods and I'm like, I'm fucking blasting off this time, you know, like determined. Like, so dude, no
roast
fear.
The bolt. Roast
no
that
fear.
Bolt.
That's yeah. what I did.
Cutting and pie. Fuck you. No.
And I was in the middle of the forest, like in Northern Florida. And we're all sitting like on camp chairs all around. And I took the biggest rip ever, just like you said. And then I inhaled it. And when I blew out, I remember looking down at the smoke coming out of my mouth and it was just like, and then all of a sudden it was like rapid fire, red bricks coming around me into this dome. And my friend who was sitting across from me, he turned into this other type of being. So I don't know if it was him or if it was just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yes. Dude, that's crazy. Keep going.
Okay. So after that happened, he started like talking to me and it was kind of the same thing. I didn't understand. And then, but my one friend who was sitting to the left of me, she was like, later on, I guess I'm skipping. So then after I blasted off even more, I went into this kind of like sensory, and I've never done this, but this is how I assume sensory deprivation type of, you leave your body completely, like you forget who you are as a you know, Lala, like Lala doesn't exist anymore. And you mm-hmm. were just this energy ball. And all I saw were patterns and like sacred geometry type, you know, that's what I felt.
Yeah. So that deep one is when you got to like hit it a couple times when you get the sacred geometry and shit. Yeah.
Well, this is what happened. So but I was gone. Like I had no hands. I couldn't hit it again. I was like, I remember my friend, she was like, don't worry, it will fade. And that's what I kept hearing, but I had no idea who Lala was whatsoever. Like, I had no clue. And so then, you know, it doesn't last that long.
Right. Yeah.
So you go back in to your being, your body, your meat bag, flesh.
Yeah, meat vehicle.
Yeah. And so I was, I also had done LSD earlier that day. And I don't know if this had played a part, but I was completely in nature too, by the way. So when I was walking around, unless I was looking at a direct person with a pulse type thing, everything around them was sacred geometry for the longest time. That's weird. It was wild.
I was gonna say, like, when I did it and like people were there, once I blasted off, dude, they weren't there in the room. They could have been swinging their dicks at me. I wouldn't, like, I was just like literally like zoned in, focused on that shit, nothing else. But and now I guess I kind of misused it a little bit because I've done it when I'm drunk before, or not drunk, but had a few drinks. You got to respect that shit. And I like, because
I agree.
My one buddy does, he administers Cambo actually down in Florida down there. He's got, also, he was on our show. He gave us a bunch of shirts and shit, but no, he, administers Cambo. Do you know what that is?
No.
So that is like a, one of the poison frogs in the Amazon. They figured out,
I have
like,
heard of
the,
that,
where one of these shaman, and they get it like on this stick. What they do is they wind up burning you, and then they put that stick, they rub it on that burn, and it's supposed to be like, I'm supposed to do it, but I just never got around to it. I should do that before. Like, I was planning on doing ayahuasca before, but the shaman that was supposed to come in missed his flight, so I didn't, my day didn't happen, so I had to get my money back. And honestly, I wasn't ready for it, because the more research I did, you need to be like a clean diet. You can't be fucking around. I mean, you can, but that's only going to make you puke and shit more. Like, you got to be in a clear head. Same with DMT, dude. You got to respect absolutely that shit.
And yeah, tripping on anything, you need to be in a clear head. And that's why the bad trips, I've never really necessarily had a bad trip, even in like weird, really, situations. Yeah.
I've had one. And the only reason I've had a bad trip, it was when I just wanted to stop tripping. And I kept telling myself, I'm done. Nope, not doing this shit no more. Like, I'm good. Like,
were you not having fun? Like, was, like, it the people you were around?
I remember that exact time. I took an eighth, and I was like, I tripped balls hard. And yeah, like, right around then, I was fucking around with Oxycontins. That was like big at OU at the time, Ohio University. But I remember, like, I had this epiphany. I'm like, I'm fucking done with this shit, dude. And then, like, I get done with the pills. And I was even thinking, like, dude, I'm not going to smoke weed no more and all this shit. But at that moment, I wanted everything done. Like, I didn't want to have that feeling of anything anymore. So, like, literally, I'm tripping and I'm like, I'm done with this shit, dude. I'm done. And that was the only time where I'm like, fuck, you get the wave when it comes back on you. You're like, shit. I'm like, no. No, I'm not going to feel it. As you're sitting there, like, trying to hold back a smile and shit. Like, that was the only time. And that wasn't even a real bad trip, though, because I was still with my friends who were all cool. Like, so it wasn't like a terrible one. I just remember it so much. Like, I wanted it to stop. The only reason it was bad.
Right. And you had an epiphany, is what it sounds like. You didn't want to be fucked up anymore. And that included mushrooms. So that
everything
makes sense.
Yeah. It was just a weird aha moment. I had an
epiphany similar to that. I was in Wakarusa. I was at Wakarusa. It was a music festival in Arkansas, like in the Ozark Mountains. And I took too much because I wanted to. Like, I never understood how people cross that threshold because I had such a high tolerance.
Right.
And it's actually the time when I got back to Florida, I packed all my shit and I moved within 48 hours. So I had an epiphany also during that time. So I had a bad trip, I guess. You're right. That was my one time.
but was it a bad trip, though? I call it a bad trip, but guess what? I stopped fucking with the oxys.
No, I mean, like, long-term, yeah. No, but I did wake up in a medical tent, and I had to sign a waiver. It was very weird, very strange.
Sorry. No, I'm listening. Sorry, I just...
The fuck? What?
No, I'm seeing... There was like a red light, but like it was a reflection, but it was a reflection of a car taillight. But on my back window, it looked like,
did you think it was like just a laser beam? Like,
that's literally what I looked at. I thought, I think it's one of my friends fucking with me, like sitting on a porch down the street. That's what I think it is. So I was like, what the fuck?
Do you have guns?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Come on, son. Again, I'm in Cleveland, homie. Yeah, I got guns.
Yeah. Gotta have guns.
I don't know. I'm not big with like concealed carrying, bringing it
no,
around.
No. I actually,
my dad was a detective. Uh-huh. So, well, he was a cop first and a detective and all that shit. So I like kind of got the rundown on guns kind of early and all that shit. But I remember the one thing he always told me, like people, you know, carry it and bring it around everywhere. He goes, the one thing I noticed being a cop, he goes, guns attract other guns. He goes, Ken, I don't know how or why. It just does. Like if someone brings a gun,
your intention again.
Well, at the same time, all these people, you know what they teach concealed carry? If you pull your weapon, be ready to use it. So like all these people,
100%.
Concealed carries are ready to fucking go. And they get in a gunfight over them trying to steal $20 or some shit, like, dude,
exactly. So
that's why it's not worth it.
I just took my concealed course recently, like, late last year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I took it. I never really wanted a concealed carry. I think I just wanted it to have it in case I did, kind of thing.
No, I think a female, I think females should. I think that's a different story.
I bought a 45 and I don't really want to carry that around. I have to get like a smaller.
What kind did you get though?
Do you want to see it?
Did you buy a Glock? Like, I don't know what you got. I got a 1911 for
it's
mine.
A Remington 45 and it's big and it's for home protection.
Yeah.
I you know what I would like for a carry, like if I was out in public type thing, is like a revolver for some reason.
I was going to tell you really a 38 stub nose would be like perfect.
If yeah.
A purse, don't got to worry about it jamming. You can even do the hammerless one. So it's literally
that's
revolver.
That's what I'm looking
for.
It won't get
fucked up. You can just, yeah.
Like if I'm like going out for a walk, because even like I think about things like, what if a fucking pit bull attacks me? Type thing, you know? So,
And then, well, even people when I worked at the bar, cause they would rob people that like they would wait around and wait for us to split up and shit like that. And they would rob people. So like, people were like, why don't you bring your gun? I'm like, dude, is it really fucking worth it though?
Even if you're protecting yourself. Yeah, exactly. So what
like,
happened?
I just say like, dude, take my money and just fuck. It's done. Like,
no, I would not shoot someone over robbing me over material items.
No. See, and that's why I wouldn't even want to bring it. Cause then if I bring it and some guy walks up behind me with a gun and then, or either pistol or something, like, guess what? Now he's got two guns and my cash. And that gun's $1,000 gun too. Like, I ain't playing that.
Part of the law too, that I learned in that class though, was that if someone like comes in my house, for instance, and they're walking away from me and I shoot them in the back, like, I could be sued or whatever for killing them but you have to be in fear. And by the way, anyone listening to this, don't take legal advice from me.
She's not a lawyer.
But in Florida specifically, you have to be in fear for your life. To me, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if he's walking towards me or away from me. If he's in my fucking house, I'm in fear for my life.
Okay. Boom. Okay. He could be walking out the door. How about that? You know what I'd say? I thought he was going to get a gun. Boom. Problem solved. Okay,
what do I have to wait for the cops?
Hey, give me, okay. My name is Ken Kaczynski Esquire. I will represent you in a court of law. Cause guess what? If you shoot someone in your home, I'm the man for you. Ken Kaczynski, hit me up at Kenny K on Instagram. What up?
This is a false advertisement. He's not really a lawyer. All the other small print. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I did a Taco Bell one the other day too. It just kind of riffed it.
I was playing a game. At my friend's house, it was like about logos and stuff. Like, it was a really old game, and one of them was Taco Bell. And it was like, what is the saying for Taco Bell? And the answer was, run towards the border. It's like,
was it?
Yeah.
The fuck? I just remember Yokiro Taco Bell, man.
No, but that was before Yokiro Taco Bell. So it's like a really old dude. Run towards the border. Obviously, that would be canceled immediately.
What do you mean? Biden would probably do the commercial.
As long as you're not American. Run towards the border.
My Mexicans, run towards the border. Viva las Taco Bell. Dude, so Nick Hinton came over the one day. Yeah, he's actually in town. Do you know who Nick Hinton is?
I bought his book I've talked to him a little bit. I really liked his podcast about the EIs.
Yeah, dude. So listen, I love Nick. Nick's great, but he's a handful sometimes. And like, especially the,
I think I've heard of him on your show actually, is where I,
yeah. I first heard about him on like Tinfoil Hat, and then I found him on Reddit, and I was like following all his shit. And then the one day we had that Ryan Bledsoe on, like, yeah, we'd like to talk to Nick Hinton, or no. Either way, somehow we got hooked up. He's from like Cleveland, so it was kind of cool. So yeah, he comes back, and that's like, he'll come rolling in. He's like, it'd be 5 o'clock on a Saturday or something like that. I'm like, finishing up something. He goes, hey, can I come over and hang out? I'm like, okay, cool. Because I've been at the bar since noon. I'm like, oh shit. Comes in shit house. It's like chugging beers. I'm like, this is when we went to go see, who did we go see? God damn it. We went to go see a comic. Fuck. Who did we go see? Oh, Tim Dillon. That's who we went to go see. And he got so drunk there. So like, we're all sitting there, like hanging out, having beers. You see him walk away. He goes, I'm going to have a cigarette. He comes back with 10 beers in his hand. There's four of us. Like he's like, it, so he's doing all this shit, yelling out. I'm like, dude, you got to shut up. They're going to kick us out. And like we're leaving. He goes, hey, can I just stop at your place real quick to go to the bathroom? I'm like, all right, cool. No problem. Right. I think I threw something out. I came back upstairs. He's passed out on my floor. Like, and then he decides to wake up at 9 a.m. the next day going, oh shit, Kent, my flight leaves at 10:30. Can you take me back home and then to the airport? But I love the guy, man. He's a good existential thinker, but he needs to lay off the booze.
Did you hear the podcast about the EIs though? Because I found that really interesting.
No, I didn't hear the podcast about it, but I've seen all my fucking texts about it.
I want to do an interview with an EI.
Sounds dude, cool. he brings it up all the time too. He's like, he talks about these EIs on Twitter that he's talking to and shit. Like, dude, like I remember the one time we're like in the Uber on a way to like go to get dinner, and he's like, yeah, man, this one's talking to me again. I'm like, I can't, man. Can we just go have some beers and like, God, like give me a chicken sandwich, just hang out for a minute? Like,
and this is how synthetic biology was born, essentially. The only other thing that I was going to kind of touch on was, you know, this documentary that I keep telling you to watch that you haven't watched yet.
Listen, I lose the tune, sister, but go ahead.
Oh, no. Wait, I'm Hispanic. You will know when I have an attitude. Don't worry.
I've dated Puerto Rican girls. I know.
Anyways, back to this documentary that I've been talking about, which I'm sure you can speak on either way because it's all about simulation theory. And it's called A Glitch in the Matrix, and you have to rent it. It's like brand new. So I think you can rent it on whatever you want, whatever
platform you choose.
Platform. Thank you. I always forget that fucking word, platform. And it's all about simulation theory, and it's really weird. It goes into the guy, the creator of Blade. I think this is interview. I forget his name. I think you can just watch his interview. So all of these fans came there to hear him talk about Blade, his new movie, and he was just laying fucking simulation theory on them. And this was like in the 90s or something like that. And it shows like the people's faces, and they're like,
oh, you're a complete psychopath now, huh? All right.
Is he schizophrenic? So that was good. And then it did take a sinister turn, which I talked to you. I don't think I spoiled it for you, but it did. At certain points, I was like, am I watching a true crime documentary? Like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. There was this man who watched The Matrix 3 times a day, like for years or something. And then he talked about
that guy. Yeah. The black boots. I might've seen this.
It's brand new, but you probably seen this story.
Clips of it or something. Yeah,
so
yeah.
This man, he was like, so I was obsessed with The Matrix and I watch it like 2-3 times a day. And I went into Hot Topics. Have you ever heard of it? Yeah, dude. We fucking.
Well, didn't he just like kill his parents or some shit?
Yes. And so he bought a black trench coat. And he says, so every day I was just hugging this black trench coat and it just was a part of me, an extended part of me. And then he goes and like goes in his basement and like shoots mom and his dad in the face. And he's like, wow, this isn't like the Matrix. This was very dark and, you know.
But why is that in a movie about simulation theory?
That's my question. And then it also talked about this one guy who stole the plane in Seattle, I think it was.
So wait, that's why people are asking me about that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Because, I remember when he did all that shit. But it's like, okay, with the simulation shit, I'm going to sound cynical, but I think it's kind of a psyop and all that, because I just don't see, like, why would they really tell us that shit? Like, all movies, all program, anything you see, it's on purpose. They put it there for a reason. And I think a lot of this shit is there to distract us. You know, they say bread and circus and all that shit. I think that a lot of this is just to get us to think in all these different ways. Like, are we living in a simulation? Like, when...
guess my question is, would it really matter? Because this is our reality, regardless if it's... Even if it was, and we ponder who this controller of the universe was, what is it, this like fat middle school kid in a different realm, or is it like the creator of the entire universe? What does it matter? Like, because this is like very real to us.
I know what you mean. And that's exactly it. It could be fake or simulation, but to us, it is real. And what we try to figure out here on life, or I feel like a lot of deep thinkers, it's like we try to figure out why we're here and what our purpose is here. So it would make a difference if it, like, somehow we did figure it out. But at the same time, I don't know if I'm going to trust whoever comes out and says, hey, we figured out we're in a simulation.
No, absolutely not. Like, but I do
go ahead. No, you finish. You go.
I just find it interesting, because on the same note of energies and frequencies and vibrations and all of that, but our atoms are 99.99999% like empty space. Mm-hmm. So, and that brings us back to kind of where we're talking about what you perceive to be real. Does perception that mean we're in a simulation? Reality. Not necessarily. Exactly. Perception is reality on a very literal 100%. And non-literal, like more philosophical way.
100. But, yes.
Yeah.
But I think, so when you're saying, does it matter? It does. Cause I think the reason they have us thinking like space or hurling on it, I love that the red bricks guy, Tartarian Meltdown on Instagram. He said this the other day on his, he was doing a live stream. He goes, no. He goes, I don't like David Icke. Cause he says that he thinks that we live on a testicle hurling through space, going 500,000 miles this way, 500,000 miles that way, all at the same time. And yet all the stars are always in the same spot. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And that's where it is for me. And I think why they do it is to demean us and make us feel not important. Because I think we are special people. We are here for a reason. I think that's why the earth is really populated right now. I think this is a change in times. And I think a lot of souls wanted to be here for it, whether they be in the shitty part or not, but they wanted to experience this. And for them to say that we are just some insignificant piece of shit floating through space, that we're just descendants of monkeys. No, we're special. And they take that away from you. And that's why even the flat earth, like, see, that's the funny thing to me too. People will entertain simulation theory, but they won't entertain flat earth.
Oh, I do. I entertain.
But not everybody though. Like, no, okay, a lot of these like dorky dudes who are,
that's
like,
where the line is. That's where the line is for so many people.
And why? And that's the other thought too. So like Buddhism, they're basically telling you that what you perceive is your reality. So you are living in a simulation that you are creating yourself.
That's my whole entire point. Exactly.
And that's exactly it. So it's the collectiveness of our own individual consciousness that makes this reality. So in a sense, this is a matrix, a total simulation, but at the same time, it's not. See, and that's why I think it can be a ball. It can be a ball. It can be just a flat plane. I tend to think, but same time, it's your own perception of it. It's, yeah, again, if it's not there for me, then it's not my own reality. I think it's more or less like a video game. You know how like in GTA you're driving around and then shit just like kind of starts reappearing and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what a lot of it is. And I don't, it's not like you're going to go off the edge. It'll continue. That's why I think this is a realm. It will continue to go. And they have this thing going. So like, you know how in one video game, you go on one side and you show up on the other. That's literally what that shit is here. At least that's my, that's what I think.
That's interesting. That is interesting. So for me on flat earth, I have done a little bit of research on it. I think it's, I don't draw the line anywhere. Like there's literally nowhere that is too big of a conspiracy for me to, because I think that once you have that, you're just kind of,
that's right mindset. No, you're right.
Yeah. I'm because sorry. It's like, and even religion. And I always say that it's because you know, there's a lot of people who are like Q followers, for instance, and they are like the rapture. They don't, everything that they're fighting against with the mind control and the indoctrination, they don't even see themselves in this bubble that they placed for themselves. So I think that's part of the journey. And there's a lot of philosophers that's, Jesus Christ.
Philosophers. Yeah, I got you.
Did I say, I can't, can I talk anymore? yeah. That say the journey is part of it. And that's kind of where I say, that's kind of what I say. So I have a friend who always is like diving super, super deep in everything. And he wants to know the reason why we're here. And I'm like, dude, you need to chill when you're feeling like that. That's the time that you need to like sit back and just watch it go by and listen to your intuition, because that's exactly why they're trying to say like, put your, look here, not there, look here, not there. You know, it's just,
yeah, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to get distracted, but I think someone that does that, that's what they're supposed to do, dude. And that's like, I think.
And it's not bad or good.
It's their own role, dude.
I do that too. I go through phases. That's the thing. It's like, then there's other times where I'm like, dude, I can't think about this anymore.
There was a point doing the podcast when it was like more like, it was a real hardcore political time. I don't know if we had a lot of guests like that, but I was looking at so much conspiracy shit and like being up on everything. I told Shane, I go, dude, I got to take like 2 weeks off. Like I can't look at this shit. I need to like get away from it all. Like it drags you down. And I have depression. So it's like, dude, it does fuck with me sometimes when it gets that bad. So it's like, it's some heavy shit, but that's why you got to come at it lighthearted. And
it comes back to what you were saying is like, don't give them that energy. Like don't let them harvest your energy. And that's why, you know, I feel
but
like,
but don't be emotionally numb. That's one thing I got into
emotionally
too,
is what?
That numb where you're I've gotten into it to where you like, you try not to react to stuff. And then you notice yourself, like you're not reacting to anything. And that's like my depression is that. So it's like, dude, I triggered this shit. So,
Here's my perception of that. And like, I think it literally ties into everything that we have discussed today, with not letting them harvest your energy and the just being, you know, Buddhism mindset. And then being that creator of your own reality. And if you believe in different timelines, for instance, like this is why to me is so important to just like be lighthearted, be positive. You see a fucked up story regardless. Like today I was getting really fucking pissed about them taking away our guns type thing. And then I was like, okay, that's exactly what they want me to do. Like, shut the fuck up.
That's why they put it out there.
Exactly. So I was just like, you and for me and like someone like you, who we're like super aware of that type of game that they're playing, it's easier for us. And then I look at my mom, you know, she comes over and her husband, he watches CNN from sunup till sundown. And she is not like that. She refuses to watch it. She comes over and she'll like mention something to me and then I'll just like lay it all on her. And I can just see me like red pilling her to where she kind of like believes what I'm saying. It's true. Not because I'm saying it, but because she knows it innately in her soul.
Yeah. And people recognize it. I don't, unless people ask for it, I keep my app shut for the most part. Like I've said this before. I got it from Eddie Bravo, actually. He goes, if you're not hip to the game now, there's nothing I can really do for you. Like, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my breath. If I'm just going to get pushed and fought, like, it's fine. My sister doesn't push me, though.
But go ahead. Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people that don't really know, that don't want to listen, and they're saying some shit. And, like, instead of me just blurting out now, I'm just like, unless they ask me, hey, Ken, what do you think of this? I'm not going to fucking say a word because, you know, it's not really worth it. Even if it's a vaccine thing, mask thing, any of that, it's like, it's not worth the fight, dude. And my sister, my mom, like my friends and shit like that, some of them that aren't in the conspiracy shit, they'll like, dude, my one buddy yesterday, I was kind of like giving him shit. I'm like, yeah, you're a free thinker. Yeah. You won't think about flat earth, but you went and got that shot real quick, like fucking with them. But like, we're all cool with it. Like, you know what I mean? I don't hate you for doing what you want to fucking do, dude. I don't care. I just like giving him shit because he gives me shit. He called me crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I just keep my mouth shut unless they actually want to hear it from me. And what the crazy thing is that people actually do kind of like make their way over at the bar and start asking me shit. So people do want to hear it. So when they do, they'll just ask me, man.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you said you were going to ask me why I'm a LARP.
Oh, I did. Oh, actually. Yeah. Actually, hold on.
Yeah. Do you have some questions?
So, what made you really want to do be a LARP? And so when I say LARP, it's like live action role play. So I have friends and we've had people on our show on Black Pill that are LARP. So we've had My Maria 777, Human Vibrations, Operation Q, Rambo, Murphy. So these are all like big Twitter guys and we get them on the show and they don't say anything. So Maria, she's a lawyer. So that's why she doesn't use her own name. No pictures, nothing like that. Human Vibrations. Her story is like, she just never told anybody about any of this shit that she like believes in her Twitter, like her big Twitter stories and stuff like that. So that's her big thing. Cause she doesn't want anything in the professional life to know about what she's doing. What is your deal? What are you doing that is so damn important? No, I'm just playing, but no, for real. Why do you like being a LARP?
Okay. I do work in a professional environment in the financial services industry. I started the account probably because I was starting to post some shit on my personal account. And it was right after the election. I posted some stuff saying like, we're going to end up like Venezuela if this shit's going on here type thing. And I got so attacked by so many people and blocked and all this drama. And I was just like, whoa, dude, I'm just trying to speak my perception of things. And I don't think that's good for me to be like
racist.
Cause I remember I was just like having a lot of, I get like hot when I'm mad. So I remember that day specifically, I was hot. My ears were hot. I was pissed about the idiocracy that I was dealing with. So I created this new account and it originally was called Lala Bean, like a bean and rice.
Well, I used to live with a Mexican as well.
We used to call it
frijoles all the time. So
okay. Well, frijoles, yes. But I don't know why I called it that. And like, because I followed a bunch of political accounts and all of that. And all of them were, you know, 17 this or that. And it just kind of came to me. So I am Lala Beams and it kind of like came to my psyche. Like it wasn't like I sat there and thought about it for a long period of time. And so the reason why I did it is and now that I continue to do it, it's not that I don't necessarily like not want to show my face. I'm just not like a selfie person in general. Like I just like this freedom of, and apparently I have this skill of shit posting, which I never knew. I always wanted to be a meme lord. So why do I need to show my fucking face when I have memes?
No, I can't argue with it. I mean, I like it that people, not that people won't listen to me, but it's like, it's kind of funny. And I don't know, I have nothing to hide. Like at first, even with my poutine shit, the
steamy
one
poutine reviews.
Yeah. Steamy poutine reviews at Instagram.
I'll add it in the details.
But yeah, the one my boss made me take, actually, I put that archived. Yeah. So he called me into my office, into his office the one day. I'm like, all right, what's up, dude? He goes, I got like, I heard something from someone that you were talking about smoking weed on one of your poutine reviews. I'm like, so dude, literally I went back and looked at everybody that viewed it. Cause you can see the views. I'm like looking for like someone from work. Hey, the guys from work that I do know, they're all cool. They ain't doing it. I smoked weed with them before, but same time I'm looking, I'm like, which boss and all this shit. But yeah, he brought something up to my boss that said I was talking about weed. And guess you know what I even said? I said, yeah, I'm a little tipsy right now. May or may not have hit the electric lettuce once or twice. Electric lettuce is what I said. I didn't even say fucking weed, dude. He's like, yeah,
not even devil's lettuce.
The electric lettuce, dude. And he's like, yeah, you got to take, he goes, you got to delete it. I go, I ain't deleting shit. I go, I'll take it down. I ain't deleting it. He goes, well, you know what I meant. All right. Like, yeah. So I totally get it. But now that I'm not, so you know what's weird? When I started the podcast, though, we didn't do videos right away. So it was just audio. And guys from work were all listening to it and shit. They loved our show. They loved, and I didn't really talk openly about like drug use and all that shit.
Right.
Now I'm just way more open about it because I'm not going back to aerospace. They can suck my dick, dude. And it is a refreshing feeling. I remember when I got laid off, I could like talk about it. I'm like, yeah, dude, just smoked a big fat bowl before I came in here for, you know, for the interview. Like, it felt good going and like doing shows, not having like worry about.
I just fucked three whores, and it's I don't give a fuck who hears it.
Easy, dude, I'm a gentleman.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
Three women, okay.
Well, apparently I'm a really bad LARP because I have this Zoom account, obviously, and I accidentally logged in on my Lala Beams account.
I saw it.
Yeah, you saw what?
I heard it. Yeah, the email. No, it was I'm not going to say your name. I almost did.
No, but like I have like my Lala Beams and then I have like my work one. And I logged in with my Lala Beams account on a work Zoom. And everyone was like, who's Lala Beams? Who's Lala Beams? And before I could even like exit out, they already had found my podcast. And so it's like, it's already too, I'm a horrible LARP apparently.
Well, you know, so we had Charlie Robinson on our show, which is like that. I have two, both his book. I love his podcast. Everything about the guy. He's like, I wanted to be my daddy. No, I'm just kidding. But he signs on and I just made my cocoa bombs, like everything. So he like signs that he goes, Hey Shane. Hey, Ken's cocoa bombs. Tell me more. I'm like, God damn it.
When I first heard you talking about that, I thought you were literally making cocoa bombs.
Oh, I'm going to too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, because then that's what it really originally started from is making fun of me because my girlfriend made me a cocoa bomb and they like, well, I guess at the time we were broken up. So that's why they gave me shit. So.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. The best is the way Shane said it though. He like saw me as Ken. What the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, I don't even know anymore, man.
All right. Well, do you have any other questions for me? Because I think I'm done with you with the questions.
I did think of one thing, one last one. Let me think real quick before I get out of here. Let's think. I want to ask more deep existential question just because I fucking can.
Damn, I was really hoping it was fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, no, fuck it. We're ending with that. Hold on. Let me see. Let me write down my three I got. So I got, it's an always sunny reference as to earlier. So I got the first one, cricket, rickety cricket. Mm-hmm. Two, Frank. Three, Mac's dad.
Oh, Mac's dad, the one from jail.
Yeah, I remember he was fucking guys and Charlie's mom. Or not Charlie. Yeah, Charlie's mom.
That's Charlie's dad too. Or no, Frank is. Wait, who's Charlie's dad?
He thinks Frank is. I don't know.
Okay.
I survived the abortion, Dad. Okay, Dad.
There it is. Okay. I definitely do not want cricket and Frank, that's so bad. I guess I would I guess I would marry Mac's dad. And I would kill Cricket. And then I would guess I would fuck Frank.
Fuck Frank!
Mr. Black Pill.
That's me. And then, all right, well, I'll give you the rundown of my shit. My name is Kenny Kaczynski. You can find me on Instagram at Kenny K, K-I-N-N-Y-K. Check out Black Pill Radio _ on Instagram, on Twitter. Definitely check us out on Rockfin, rockfin.com/Black Pill, Black Pill Radio. And so we have premium content on there. So we do some interviews that we don't put on YouTube, that we won't put on Spotify or Apple. Yeah. So
you have an OnlyFans?
I told you not to bring that up. Edit that out. No, I'm just kidding. Not yet. Times are not tough enough for OnlyFans, but if you do want to send me some stuff, DM me, see what's up. I'll just play it. No, but seriously, hit us up. Check us out on Apple, iTunes, Google Play, all the major platforms, and Rockfin for sure, and Odyssey, actually. So check us out. We're everywhere.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you. It was awesome. We'll do it again.